Please open your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk was written at a time when the world in which Habakkuk lived was in a mess. In fact, we see that from the opening four verses of the book. Habakkuk writes, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment never goeth forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." The world was in a mess, and so Habakkuk cried out to God. And what was God's response? Well, we see that in verses 5 through 11. In short, God's response to Habakkuk was this: "You think things are bad now? They're about to get a whole lot worse." Look at verses 6 and 7. "I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful." And of course, although that's not what Habakkuk wanted to hear, we know that's exactly what happened. Not long after Habakkuk was written, King Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Jerusalem, carried many of the people off into exile to Babylon, eventually destroying the city of Jerusalem, destroying the temple. How were God's people to cope with such terrible events? How were they to live in such terrible times as those? Well, God answers that question in chapter 2 of Habakkuk, at verse 4. "The just shall live by his faith." That phrase has been called the seven most important monosyllables in all of church history. "The just shall live by his faith." Just seven words in English, but we could talk about them all night and not even begin to plumb their depths. It was certainly a surprising phrase. First, it was surprising that the just would survive at all, that they would even live at all in such terrible times. But God says they will live. But second, it was surprising because of how they would live: by faith. Not by their own power, not by the power of some earthly king or some earthly army, but by faith. That's a revolutionary idea in any age, but particularly so in the time of Habakkuk. What does it mean to live by faith? Well, in Habakkuk's day, it meant remaining true to God even when you found yourself in exile 600 miles away from your home. In Habakkuk's day, it meant worshiping God even after your temple was destroyed. In Habakkuk's day, it meant remaining faithful to God for 70 years in exile before you then return to your impoverished and ruined homeland. It meant maintaining your trust and your joy in the midst of terrible adversity. The final three verses of the book of Habakkuk beautifully describe that life of faith. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hind's feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places." That's what it means to live by faith, both in the time of Habakkuk and in our time as well. One of the songs we sing, "Living by Faith," I think describes that life of faith very well. "I care not today what the morrow may bring, as shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worries are vain." Christians live by faith. That's how we live. That's why we live. So what does it mean for a Christian to live by faith? What is involved with that? Well, let's let the New Testament answer that question. Habakkuk 2 verse 4 is quoted three times in the New Testament. in Romans, in Galatians, and in Hebrews. Let's look first at Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. When Paul wanted to use an Old Testament verse to describe the powerful saving gospel of Jesus Christ, he turned to Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Why? Because it is because of that gospel that the just can live. And that gospel is a gospel of faith. Well, so does that mean we just stand idly by and let faith do its work on us? No, not at all. That's not how the just live by faith. Just a few verses earlier in Romans 1, verse 5, Paul wrote about obedience to the faith. That's the faith he's talking about there in chapter 1. And look again at the verse Paul quotes from Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. That's describing something the just do. That's describing their actions, something they do. They have a role to play in this. There's a way in which they are to live, and that way is faith. Faith is how we live. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is something we do. A living faith is an active faith. Absent obedience, there is no faith. Living by faith is living in obedience to God. The second place we find that phrase is in Galatians 3, 11 and 12. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. In Romans, Paul told us that faith is tied to obedience. But here, Paul reminds us that faith is more than obedience. Many in Paul's day had turned the old law into just a checklist, and that's how they lived. Not by faith, but by checklist. If they could have lived a perfect life, if they could have checked all the boxes, then yes, they would have found salvation. That's what Paul says here in Galatians 3. The man that doeth them shall live. But they couldn't do them because of what Paul says in Romans 3:23, because all men have sinned. If we want perfection, then we must look to the perfect Son of God who alone was able to live a sinless life. We must look to Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. Yes, we must be obedient. We must live by faith, yes. But we are not saved by what we do. We are saved by what Jesus did. Yes, baptism is essential. Yes, it is at the point of our baptism that we enter the kingdom of God. But while baptism doth also now save us, 1 Peter 3:21, that salvation does not occur due to the water, 1 Peter 3:21, but rather due to what that water represents, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Romans 6, verse 4. One of the songs we sing says it very well. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Yes, absent obedience, our faith is dead. But absent Christ, our faith is also dead. Living by faith is looking to Jesus. The third place it's used is in Hebrews chapter 10, 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. For we are not of them which draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The life of faith is a walk of faith. And if we aren't moving, then we aren't living by faith. These verses from Hebrews tell us that, and they also tell us the direction of our walk. We are to be moving forward and not backward. Well, what does that mean? First, it means we grow spiritually. We're not backsliding. We're not staying the same. Instead, we're following Christ by walking as He walked. And as we do that, we will become more and more like Him. And second, it means we're always advancing toward our goal, always moving toward our goal. We're a runner headed toward the finish line. We must not be distracted by anything. We're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. Revelation 2, verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." That is the walk of faith, and that's the goal that will end after our walk of faith, that we will receive after our walk of faith. Living by faith is always pressing forward toward that goal, the crown of life. So what does it mean to live by faith? Well, Habakkuk tells us it means trusting in God in the midst of even terrible adversity. Romans tells us it means obeying Jesus in everything that we do. Galatians tells us it means looking to Christ, and to Christ alone, the author of our salvation. Hebrews tells us it means moving forward on our walk of faith, so that at the end we will have been, if we've been found faithful unto death, we'll receive our goal, crown of life. Trusting, obeying, looking, moving. Those four words from Habakkuk, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews describe the life of faith. That is how we live. The just shall live by faith. The very first step of your walk of faith is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ by being baptized for the remission of your sins. That's when your life of faith begins. That's when that walk begins. Only by doing that can you be added to the kingdom, so that one day, having lived faithfully unto death, you'll receive that crown of life. If we can help you in any way tonight, please come while we stand and while we sing.